Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
And we're continuing, as Ryan mentioned, our teaching on how to change the world, culture shock. We are talking about how the world will be changed, how the world will be saved. And we said a lot the last few weeks, and so I really want you guys to follow me, to flow with me with where we're going. I said Isaiah 45, right? Today will probably be, I don't know how this is going to come out, this is going to be like a more of a prophetic type of message, but I really want you guys to key in on what I'm saying. Every message I preach, I believe, is prophetic. I don't necessarily just preach a sermon that I wrote 20 years ago or 5 years ago and I just get up and preach it. I really ask God to show us exactly what he wants to say. That's why it's so important that you stay in tune with the series, right? We teach in series. How many people know the Bible says that we grow from precept upon precept, or line upon line? There is a building that takes place. How God works, or how God speaks to his church, is that he speaks to us where we are. But then when he meets us where we are, he's always trying to bring us onto this thing called a journey. And on this journey, we go on this road of revelation where he gives us one promise, and that one promise takes us to another promise. And our lives are just full of promises, and it's full of hope, and it's full of testimonies of how God fulfills his promise. And as he fulfills his promises, it brings us to another level of trust, another level of faith, amen, another level of confidence in what God is able to do. And we grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory, amen. And so it's important that you understand that wherever you are in life, you're on a journey. We're all on a journey. So we're on this thing called a journey. Everybody say journey. And we're on the greatest journey that there is. Because the journey that we're a part of never ends. It's a journey into the heart of God. It's a journey into an eternal life where we're all learning how to know God, which was our original commission, our original plan. The original intention of God was that we will be a people who know their God. And so God said to me while we were preparing, like we said, we've been talking about how to change the world. And if you are a believer, you got to understand that you are called not just to be saved, but you're called to save. All right? You were called out of the kingdom of darkness and into his marvelous light. And now you are the light of the world. And therefore, God is counting on you to be light to someone else. God is counting on you to be a deliverer to someone else who needs deliverance. God is counting on you to be his hands and his feet, because if you don't go, they won't know that God is with you, okay? So we need to see ourselves as significant. Say, I am significant to the purposes of God. Say it again. Say, I am significant to the purposes of God. Yeah, God needs me. Say that. God needs me. It's important you understand that God needs you. God believes in you so much that he gave you the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus so that you would do the same works that Jesus did. The same works. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do. He said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do. And so one of the things I try to do is when I read the Gospels, I look at what Jesus did, and I say, well, he said, if I believe, I will do what he's doing. All right, so I have to have a doer mentality, not just a believer mentality, but a doer. All right, we need to be doers. James wrote about that. He talked about if you just hear the word and you don't do it, then you're deceiving yourself. Those who hear the word and do it are believers. So you got to become a doer of the word. We need to begin to put flesh and bones to revelation. So the word of God can become flesh in us, and that when people see you, they will see Jesus. Amen? So week one, I told you that you need to be Jesus to someone. You need to be Christ. When people see you, because you are the body of Christ, when people see you, they see Christ. And you got to see Christ in you. You are, there is Christ in you. Colossians 1:27 talks about that, right? That Christ in you is the hope of glory. Last week, I touched on the fact that in Matthew 24, Jesus actually said that before the end will come, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, right? The gospel of the kingdom must be preached, and then the end will come. And I've talked about how we've heard gospel preached, or people say they've been preaching the gospel, but the world has not really heard the gospel of the kingdom. We've heard the message of salvation, but we haven't really heard the gospel of the kingdom. Because one of the things about the kingdom is, the Bible says the kingdom is not just in word only, but in power. So when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, you're talking about the dominion and the realm of God opening up in a city, opening up in a nation in such a way that the same works we see manifesting in Jesus' day is happening in that nation and in that region. So when the gospel of the kingdom is being preached, you're talking about the rule and the reign of God. And when God shows up in the nation, you see, our church is not the kingdom. Church is a portion of the kingdom. Like, you can have an entire city of Christians and that city not change. For a city to change, the culture has to change. The way of life, the attitudes. We're not talking about change for the worse, we're talking about change for the better. And there is supposed to be something so attractive and something so revolutionary about how the church does life that people in the world will come to the church and say, we need to adjust and add this into our way of life because this way is so much better than our way. Right now, the world doesn't really see much relevance in the church. So when it comes to business strategies, I don't see people running to the church to try to figure out solutions for their businesses. Right? Or when it comes down to the medical field, breakthrough understanding about medicine should be coming from the church. And if we were to just study a little bit of history, most of our universities and our hospitals were all started by churches. The church in this in early years, about 200 years ago, 1800s, had a more of a kingdom mentality than we do now. Because our church culture right now does not change the world. But we need a kingdom culture where we can bring the kingdom into every sphere of life. And that's why Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom, everything else will be taken care of. Because the kingdom has the ability to make our world better. And every system in this world that's not built up on kingdom principles will collapse. So everything in this world that is not based on the virtues and the ethics and the value system of the kingdom, it will collapse. It will collapse. But God needs a people to rise up today who are not afraid of the dark. And that's actually one of the things that God told me to tell you today is that he is putting on us a Cyrus anointing. Cyrus and it was a person that God used, a king that God used for his glory. I want you to read verse 1 really quick. Watch this. Isaiah 45:1. We're in a season of Isaiah 45. Look at this. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue. Everybody say subdue. Nations before him. I want you to highlight that word subdue if you can. To subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings. To loose the armor of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. So the anointed, God has given him the ability to subdue nations, to loose the armor and the loins of kings, and to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. All right? So, let's keep reading verse 2. The Bible says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." Look at somebody next to you and say, "God wants to give you the treasures of darkness." Look at somebody else and say, "God wants to give you the treasures of darkness." Notice what God said to Cyrus. He said, "Cyrus, I anointed you, and you will subdue nations. You will bring nations under subjection. You will loose the armor of kings. You will open to open before you the double door so that the gates will not be shut." So this is a season, church, where God is getting ready to open doors for his people. And it's an opportunity for us to subdue, influence, infiltrate nations and have impact there. He said, "I will go before you and make the crooked places straight." So the reason why these gates will not be shut and these doors will be open that you can walk in is because God himself is going before you. And as he's going before you, he's making the crooked places straight, and he is breaking into pieces the gates of bronze, and he's cutting the bars of iron open. In other words, that which was impenetrable for you to enter, God says, "I'm breaking those doors down because you won't have any excuse as to why you can't go where I'm sending you to go." If you take this word, and verse 3, which is where I'm going to hang out for a little while, he says, "And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." And so what I want to tell you is this. We are the light of the world. We learned in Isaiah 60 last week also that we are living in a day when darkness is in the earth. And gross darkness is covering the people. And we just saw witness to that with, for example, that shooting that happened in Orlando, where 50 people were murdered in one moment and 53 in critical condition. That's not the half. We can look around, all around the world, we can see all types of atrocities that are happening. The Christians who are being killed and persecuted. Thousands of Christians who are being murdered in countries in Africa and the Middle East. No one is doing anything about it. All right, we can talk about all the sex trafficking that's happening all around the world, where sex slavery is even higher than slavery when it was back in the 1600s. There's more slaves now than there were back then. I mean, that's this portion of the stuff that's happening in the world today. These are serious times. These are dark times. And unfortunately, a church that has been taught an eschatology, which is a study of the end times, a church that has been taught some bad things about the end times, has taught us to, when we see darkness, have this perverted sense of encouragement that the darker the times get, Jesus is going to come back. And so instead of actually engaging culture to try to bring transformation, we actually clap our hands and we say, "Lord, take us now." When we don't have any type of compassion to go into the world to bring an end to the situation that God left us here to solve. And so any view of the end times that causes you to push away the commission that Jesus clearly said we were to do, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, come on, the commission that he gave his church, there is no end time view that supersedes that commission. And if your view of the end times actually handicaps you from going out and doing the stuff that Christ said to do, then you need to revisit what you believe about the end times. Jesus is not coming back because of how dark the world is getting. And I said before, if he was looking for darkness to be the sign when he would come, he would have came during the dark ages. All right? So darkness is not the indication that Christ is ready to come back. On the other hand, he's coming back for a brilliant church, a glorious church, a church that's made herself ready, a church that has become mature, and that's a church that's actually engaging the culture, who's evangelizing, who's bringing heaven to earth, that's preaching the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world, because that's when the world will know that the time has come. Until we are bringing people into the understanding or the revelation of the reality that heaven is a real place that you can experience now, and that whatever you're suffering right now, there is a way out of it, because all you need to do is repent, for the kingdom is at hand. When you invite people into a now reality of heaven, and people can taste and see that God is good, and that they can experience the powers of the ages to come now, until every nation has a fair chance to experience heaven on earth, he's not coming back. That's what he said. Until every nation has their fair shot of seeing the power and the glory and the kingdom of God, right? For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, forever and ever. When people have the opportunity to have their own experience with that, then he's going to come back. But in order for that to happen, the church, we need to actually reorient our perspective towards darkness. Because we look at darkness and we get afraid and we try to stay away from the dark. And we look at darkness as a place to say, we don't enter that place. That's for people that's in darkness. I'm in the light. And so we don't go there because that's dark and we're here. When in actuality, light actually gets to be seen in the dark. So if Jesus said, you are the light of the world, but all the light is hanging out in one place, we don't even see the light. Because light actually gets to express itself in fullness in the dark. So if I'm going to actually discover the fullness of my potential in God, I got to find some dark places to go to. Why do we want to go to the dark? Let's look at the incentive. God says, I will give you the what? Treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places. So that means there is value in darkness. There is value in the dark places that you're called to enter into. I really believe that the church, we hit a climax, that we can't experience any more glory than the darkness we're getting ready to enter into. That right now where we are, God can't reveal any more glory. He needs us to start entering into the darkness so that he can show himself more of who he is. Look what he says. So that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. I'm giving you treasures of darkness. That's the incentive. If you go into the realm, into the place that's lacking my presence. See, what's darkness? Darkness represents a few things. Right? If you're taking notes, write this down. Darkness, number one, darkness represents, the basic understanding of it is evil, right? We understand darkness to be evil. Everybody say evil, all right? So we know darkness to be evil. Darkness represents evil. Darkness represents chaos and confusion in scriptures. It represents so many things in scriptures. Chaos, confusion. Darkness is the absence of light. So where there's no light, there's darkness. Where there's no light, there's darkness. I'm going to pause right there. So if God says that there is treasure in darkness, then that means I need to discover the necessity and the role and the importance, the value of darkness in my life. If you are in a dark place, church, if you're around some dark things, I want you to begin to change your perspective and begin to develop a victorious mentality about your situations. Come on, because there is treasure in your darkness. So I need to look at darkness and not be intimidated by it. All right? One of the questions you need to ask yourself is, am I more impressed by the darkness I see around me than the light that I have within me? Because if we believe that greater is he that lives in me, then the darkness around me does not intimidate me. Come on. See, there's value in darkness. Is darkness superior to light, or is light superior to darkness? So light is superior to darkness. So that means goodness is superior to evil. If evil equates to darkness, then that means the light is good. Then that means the evil is only as strong as the good allow it to be. What's happening in the streets is only happening because the light is not in the darkness. We don't have a problem with evil in this world. We have a problem with goodness. Because if the good and the light were to do their job, evil and the darkness will flee. Didn't the scripture say, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good? So goodness, because light is superior to darkness, good is always stronger than evil. Lies are always weaker than truth. So if I walk in truth, the lie must submit to the truth. Now, truth is not what the devil shows you out there. Truth is what God has revealed about himself in here. In this word, this is the light. And this light, when we bring it into the darkness, the evil must begin to bow its knees to the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But there needs to be some people who begin to rise up, and we are the light that he's waiting for. Let me fast forward to where I was going to go. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Darkness was on the earth before you. Darkness was on the earth before light. Isn't that? He even said that, and God called the night. Called the darkness night, and he called the light day. And the night and the day, night was even before day. Okay? And so what happens is this. There was darkness on the world, but when God said let there be light, light appeared, and there was darkness, and light began to show up, and darkness had no choice but to obey. There was darkness in the beginning, and there's going to be darkness in the end. But here's the difference. There was no persons. There was no people on the earth. So when darkness is on the earth, it was just floating around in thin air. Now the darkness is on people. Right? He said darkness will be on the earth and gross darkness to people. So now that there's a people that darkness can be on, in the last days there is a people that light can be on. So what if when God says let there be light this time around, a people is going to show up that's going to actually bring darkness to its knees again. When God says, let there be, he's looking for a people. Because there's darkness on people. So now he needs a people to rise up in light. We're the light of the world. Arise and shine. The light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord came when he floated on the face of the deep. But now he's floating on us. Amen? You and I. We're the people that God is going to send to begin to bring about the last day Armageddon that we're looking for. You see, I believe that this verse is so full, so loaded. I have so much to say. I'm trying to give you guys the keys or the main points about this. All right? When you have a victorious view of where you're going in life, the journey does not intimidate you because you are carrying a promise that guarantees your success and fulfillment. You see, the crisis in our lives won't intimidate us if we understand the promise of who we're carrying on the inside of us. Okay? We have become, and I think because we watch so much horror movies, but we become so fascinated by how evil the world is get. The devil doesn't impress me. The devil should not impress you. I refuse to feel intimidated or to feel like I'm powerless in this world when I know that I have a promise that declares that I am greater than what's going on in this world. I won't, and you shouldn't either. Your circumstances are not more powerful than you. Come on. You have to develop a breakthrough spirit. You have to develop a breakthrough mindset. And that starts by seeing that darkness is working for my favor, because there's treasure there that I'm about to discover. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Right? So many people don't know where Christ is in their storm, so they panic, worry, and make unbelieving decisions because Christ is actually resting in the middle of your storms. You remember that when the disciples were in the storm and they were asleep? Jesus was asleep and they were panicking when Jesus actually expected them to deal with their storm? I think that's where we're in too as a church, as a people. Like, we're looking for Jesus to come and do something that he already said, I've given you authority to solve. And how they were going to solve that storm is by speaking up. Jesus rose up and he spoke to the storm, and the peace that was within him entered into the storm, and the storm ended. There's another thing that darkness represents, and I want you to write this down. Darkness represents what you're afraid of. What you're afraid of is the darkness, the unknown, the thing you're afraid of doing, the dream you are afraid of pursuing, the places you are afraid of going, the people you are afraid of speaking to, that is the darkness. Now, I love the quote that says, everything you need is on the other side of fear. And everything you want in life is on the other side of fear. So if you are too afraid by the darkness, you won't go. But the treasure is in the darkness. So I got to make a decision whether or not I'm going to go and face the fear. There was a study that was done, and they talked about what are the two greatest fears in the world. The two greatest fears that people have. You know what they are? The number two greatest fear was the fear of dying. That was number two. The fear of dying. The number one fear in people was the fear of public speaking. People were more afraid of speaking in public than they were dying. I mean, I didn't understand it either at first. Put me on a stage somewhere any day before I face death. But when I heard that at first, it caught me off guard. But God said to me, "No, that's biblical." He said that's biblical. Why? Because the Bible actually tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if the devil was to get you to be afraid of anything, it was to get you to be afraid of speaking, because when you speak, you have the authority to now alter your destiny in life. So he gets people to be afraid of opening up their mouths and speaking up. Because if you speak up, you can begin to control your destiny. The power of your tongue controls death. So the devil says, I'm going to get you more afraid to speak. So there are people who will die before they'll speak up, because they've allowed fear to cripple them. Speak. Give your words an assignment. Remember that? Give your words an assignment. Faith speaks. Light speaks. Come on, light speaks. The two common ways we advance the kingdom is through our beliefs and our words. What we believe about the future and what we say about our destiny, what we say about the future, what we say about people, what we say about our businesses, what we say about our families, that's how we expand the kingdom, because the Bible says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom is within you. So if I want to get the kingdom that's within me to come out of me, I got to speak it. My words cause manifestation to take place. Hallelujah. That's why I'm telling you to say yes and amen. That's why I'm telling you to respond to the word. Because when you respond affirmatively with your mouth, you actually give clearance and permission for God's kingdom to begin to work in your life. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. So now, if darkness represents what we're afraid of, and it's where treasure is, then I got to begin to look at those situations a little differently. Last thing is that darkness represents problems. Everybody say problems. Now, Genesis chapter 1 is where we're going to end. Genesis chapter 1, look at this. In the beginning, we talked about this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Which means that when we see the beginning, we actually see the end. Right? What we see in the beginning, because God starts the thing from the ending and he works backwards. Like, we set a plan and we start from the beginning and we try to get to an end somewhere, but we never make it there. Because God's actual plan of action is, no, you see the end from the beginning, and then you work towards the end. Okay? But in the beginning, let's look at that. Genesis chapter 1. I didn't even show you guys Isaiah 45, verse 7. The Bible says that I create darkness. God created darkness. Isaiah 45, 7, God created darkness. But I'll get back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Those are the five most important words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And he created the heavens, and he created the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form. It was void. It was lacking something. And what was on the earth? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. So God created the darkness too. God created the dark. God created the dark. Anything God creates has purpose. God created darkness for a reason. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And what he was doing, what was he doing, what was he waiting for? The Spirit of God was moving. Verse 3, he was waiting for something. Verse 3, then God said, hallelujah. I wish you'd get that revelation. God saw darkness, and God said, let there be light. I want you to say that. Let's say that together. Let there be light. Say it one more time. Let there be light. One more time. Let there be light. He didn't say, look at how dark it is. Look at the problems in the world. Look at how miserable and chaotic this world is. No, no, no. God understood that my words have the ability to change the circumstances. And he released the word or the call for light to come. He called light. He didn't create light here. Light was already created. He just called it out of the darkness. Now watch this. If light was on the earth darkness was on the earth before the light, God chose to put us into a world where darkness already was. Which means you were created, you were born to end darkness. You were born to solve problems. This is a revelation for you. Darkness was the very construct necessary for our manifestation. The only reason why God created us was to end darkness. Do you see that? There was a problem on the earth before us, and God allowed us to be born into it to end it. When we jump down to Genesis 1, verse 28, we see the first commission. Look at this really quick. Genesis 1, look at 27, sorry, 26, not 28, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over every creeping thing that creeps. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and what? Subdue it. Remember that word? That word subdue, we see on Isaiah 45. That word subdue is a military term. It speaks of conflict and conquest. That whenever you subdue something, you are facing a conflict or problem and you are subduing it. You're bringing it to rest. You're conquering it. Why would God tell the first human beings to subdue the earth if there was nothing to subdue? Because they were born into a world that had problems that they were going to solve. See, you were born into a war. I don't have much time to talk really about the backdrop behind it. But when Adam and Eve was born, they were born into a world that they were called to subdue. It wasn't all perfect on the earth. It was just perfect in the garden. And they were commissioned to expand, to be fruitful, to multiply the conditions of this realm in this place called Eden, and to expand it throughout the world. And there were some creeping things on the earth that they were going to need to subdue. We know in the next chapter that serpent creeped in, who was the devil. He was on the planet before them. And instead of subduing him, he subdued them. He deceived them. And that's where the whole commission for the kingdom comes in, because now Jesus was sent to redeem that which was lost, to bring back into the authority and to back into man's hands the responsibility of being light in the darkness. So problems were on the earth before you and I, and we were called to solve it. Problems started before us, but they're going to end because of us. This is why problems are necessary, because your purpose is revealed by the problems you were born to solve. Your purpose is uniquely connected to the problems that only you were called to solve. God is still saying, let there be light. But we are the people, we are the light that God is calling us. He said, we pull us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That word subdue is so important, because we are called and commissioned to subdue the earth and bring it back into subjection to the kingdom. Here's where we're going to wrap up. So this commission that God gave us was the original Great Commission. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule. This is the Great Commission initially. Then in the New Testament, when Jesus was rising up and leaving the earth, he said to go into all the world, preach the good news, disciple nations, right? Subdue nations, disciple nations. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. See that word dominion? Where is it? God bless them, God said to them. Where's dominion? Oh, verse 26. You see that word dominion, right? Let them have dominion. Kings have dominion. Kings have dominion. That word dominion also means to dominate. Everybody say dominate. All right? This is the mentality you gotta have, church. This is the breakthrough spirit you gotta have. That the darkness around me is not anything that I'm supposed to be impressed with, but it's actually my call to invade. It's my responsibility to go into it and actually bring transformation in the places that I'm afraid of. Amen? So light be. Say that, light be. Let there be light. Not one day, but right now. See, the gospel of the kingdom I don't have any time to go into this. We'll get back to this next week. The gospel of the kingdom is all about the restoration of what was lost in the beginning. God is restoring cities, nations. He starts with us, though. He's restoring us back into right standing with him, back into relationship with him. He restores us back to a place where we're no longer bound to sin, we're bound to shame and bound to guilt, but we're now learning how to grow up in our identity to be all that God has called us to be in this life. Not when we die and go to heaven, but in this life. There is potential in you to solve problems around you. And until you begin to see the darkness as something that's valuable, you won't know how to actually go in and to engage the culture that God called us to actually take rulership in. So I can't look at TV and just think about how evil it is. Somebody needs to go on TV and bring the light to the TV. Right? We just can't talk about how evil music is. Somebody needs to go in the music world and begin to let their light shine in the music world. Come on. We get no glory in talking about how bad the times are getting. It's actually discrediting our witness. It actually diminishes our worth because we are actually exposing the greatness that's within us when we go into dark places and we actually bring that light. But the most important thing we've got to understand is this light is not ours, it's his. And so when you enter into a place and you begin to declare the kingdom, and you talk about heaven, and you talk about Jesus, know that your light begins to immediately cause darkness to run and hide. If there's one thing I want you to remember as I close, one thing I want you to understand is this. You find yourself when you lose yourself. You don't know who you are until you put yourself in circumstances that causes that which is in you to get out of you. Sometimes you gotta be risky. You gotta get on the limb. So you don't know what you can accomplish until you try to accomplish it. You don't know the people you can heal until you try to start healing people. Right? You don't know the great things you can do until you actually get in the game. Hello. And if you are in this room and you have no intentions of speaking to your circumstances, that's like basic right there. Learning how to speak to your circumstances and telling them what to do. That's just basic to transformation. Forget about trying to go into the world and cause transformation. If you just can't start by speaking to your circumstances and beginning to declare light to be, declaring solutions and declaring the manifestation of God's promises into your circumstances, that you won't be able to go into this world. You see, when you pray and you're speaking, it's causing the kingdom to come out of you, right? If you notice, all the things God asks us to do, praise, worship, all requires us to speak. All of it requires us to speak. The one thing that sets us apart from every other thing God created is that we have the ability to speak. The ability to speak. Declaration produces manifestation. If I want to see the kingdom of God work, stop looking at your money and talk about how sad it's looking. So I'm looking at your money and start saying, this is blessed. This money is blessed. This money is going to prosper. This money is going to pay all my bills. This money is going to accomplish everything that I need. This money is taking me through school. This money is getting my kids fed. This money is getting my business off the ground. This money, I don't care how much it is. You begin to speak, and God will begin to manifest. Say manifest. God will begin to manifest his word. His word will begin to work. Because God does nothing without his word. Amen? So, I'm trying to land this plane. Let's all stand. Let's go back to Isaiah 45. We're going to wrap up here somewhere. Isaiah 45. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the places that you're afraid of going into, the unknown, the scary places. God says, I'm giving you treasure there, and hidden riches, hidden wealth, and secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. God says, when you go, they will know. When you go into the darkness, they will know. I'm trying to get you to recognize, this is nice where we are right now. This place, this church, we're all light, it's okay. But there's nothing like taking this light into darkness. There is another level of glory that takes place. You see, when Sherman goes out to the mall and he preached the gospel to people, invite people into the relationship with God, and people receive. There's nothing like seeing people receive Christ in the street compared to when they do it in church. We're excited about the people who come here and receive Christ, but it's nothing like bringing Christ to them in the world. When light is seen in darkness, it's so much more powerful, because now that person who got saved in the street will say, well, people can get saved in the street too. Because that's where God met me. We got saved in church, most of us, so we only think God would meet us in church. But when you get met in the street, in the mall, in the laundromat, and you realize, well, God visited me here. Those people will walk all around and tell people about Jesus and not think that it can only work inside of the four walls of a church building. Come on, glory wants to be revealed in the darkness. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about bringing heaven to your workplace and to your job? And it can start with just one conversation, just one prayer request. People talk about what's going wrong and you offer to pray with them. Be intentional about being the light. Be intentional about that. Partner with God. Partner with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I'm in this place for a reason. Use me to bring your glory here. That's what the light does. The light chooses to shine where there is darkness. Verse 7. God said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. I form the light and I create darkness. God created darkness, church. How do you know God is good? So if he's good, and he created darkness, darkness must be good. I'm trying to get you a breakthrough mentality. Darkness is good. Say that, darkness is good. And there is value for you in your darkness. Hallelujah. I want you to get this by way of revelation. Say that, there is darkness around me, therefore treasure is around me. Value is around me. Come on, wealth is hidden in darkness. The problems you will solve, or the problems I will solve, are the places where God will promote me. Come on, there's no promotion without problems being solved, church. Your purpose is found in the darkness you were called to solve. And the things that you are dealing with right now are unique to you because you were created to handle it. Come on. You were created to handle your darknesses, your situations in ways that I can't. So begin to partner with God and say, God, let there be light.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church.
For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.